From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue his recently begun series of studies in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Commonest Things Blessed. The text is Exodus 23 and verse 25. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. What a promise is this! To serve God is in itself a high delight, but what an added privilege to have the blessing of the Lord resting upon us in all things. Our commonest things become blessed when we ourselves are consecrated to the Lord. Our Lord Jesus took bread and blessed it. Behold, we also eat of blessed bread. Jesus blessed water and made it wine. The water which we drink is far better to us than any of the wine with which men make merry. Every drop has a benediction in it. The divine blessing is on the man of God in everything, and it shall abide with him at every time. What if we have only bread and water? Yet it is blessed bread and water. Bread and water we shall have. That is implied, for it must be there for God to bless it. Thy bread shall be given thee, and thy waters shall be sure. With God at our table, we not only ask a blessing, but we have one. It is not only at the altar, but at the table that he blesses us. He serves those well who serve him well. This table blessing is not of debt, but of grace. Indeed, there is a trebled grace. He grants us grace to serve him, by his grace feeds us with bread, and then in his grace blesses it. If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As part of this series on the life and earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message called Christ Tempted but Triumphant, as recorded in Matthew chapter 4. The temptation presents a number of views of the Lord Jesus. We've seen his true humanity, for only by being truly human could he save us. In addition, the temptation shows us Christ's humility. From his lowly birth in Bethlehem, through his life of poverty, all the way to the shame of the cross, Jesus demonstrated a humility that astounds us. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Also we see his purity. In him was no sin. We rejoice in his victory over Satan as well as in his mercy. What he did was for us, his people. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Christ tempted but triumphant.
God, in coming to man, has always come through his Son. Now coming to sinful man, he comes in the person of God incarnate. We have the human face of God, if you want it. Not that God is humanized, but that God, by taking a true humanity into union with himself, has drawn near to us so that he may draw us near to him. He came down to the depths of where we were, that he might lift us to the heights of where he is. And that's the absolute necessity of understanding the humanity of Christ. And Christ was tempted. To underscore, to emphasize, to write upon our hearts that this is not a look-alike humanity. This is not some plastic image of humanity. This is not some special spiritual humanity. This is true humanity, where he was, by the power of the Holy Ghost, made of the substance of the Virgin Mary, without sin, but nonetheless truly human. We get a glorious vision of the humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just see this. Here is the Son of God, the object of the worship of the angels of heaven. Never forget that. Remember Isaiah 6? When the angels cover their face, they cover their feet, they hover in the presence of Jehovah, and they cry, "Holy, holy, holy." Remember that passage? John 12:41 tells us that it was Christ before whom they bowed. It was to Christ they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." It was His glory they beheld. He's the object of heaven's worship. Now He has come down to earth. He was born in a manger. Low enough. He then became known as a Nazarene, not a Nazarite. Among the Jews, Nazarite was a name of honor. Among the Jews throughout history, a Nazarene was the name of shame. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? That's the sneer that the Pharisees made, because it was the common wisdom of the day. So that was low enough, you would think. For 30 years, he labored in obscurity. Can you imagine it? Creator of the universe, walking, unknown, unheralded, unrecognized, unworshipped, even by the very members of the household in which he lived. Low enough, you would say, to come. Now, immediately after his baptism, out in the wilderness, he subjects himself to the viciousness of hell. The Bible doesn't tell us all that Satan said, all that Satan tried. It simply tells us in Luke 4 that he for 40 days was tempted of the devil. I want you to understand that every foul thought, every filthy word, every hellish, rotten purpose that has ever defiled the earth has its place in the mind of the old liar, the serpent, the wicked one, the evil one, Satan himself. If you take all the viciousness of which men are capable and combine them into one rotten whole, you can say that all is to be found in Satan, and now let loose with all his unrestricted fury against the Lord Jesus Christ. Day and night he is hammering and hammering and suggesting and speaking and hissing and cursing and doing everything that hell can do to impute its foul and filthy stream of wickedness to the holy character of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people on earth that you wouldn't rub shoulders with. There are certainly people on earth with whom you would not sit down in conversation and listen to them. And yet they are angels in comparison to the foulness of hell. In order to do battle in our flesh and overcome in our humanity, the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself. There are few glimpses of the depths of his humiliation greater than this, that he exposed himself to that awful, tormenting trial, that time of prolonged temptation. Through it all, we can see the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, He could say, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me. He hath nothing in me. The Lord Jesus Christ was sinlessly pure before he went into the temptation. He was sinlessly pure throughout the temptation. He was sinlessly pure at the end of the temptation. And that's why I said Satan retired as an unsuccessful tempter. Because Christ was pure in mind, in motive, in purpose, in thought, in word, in deed, in inner conception and ideas, in outward expression of them. He was pure in his humanity, not only in his deity. He was absolutely, impeccably pure. Oh, what a vision of the purity of the Lord Jesus. You know, everything else in this world that has ever touched Satan or anything to do with Satan has been defiled. Every other person in the history of the world has been immediately defiled by conversation with Satan. See what happened to Eve? She was sinless. As soon as she started talking to the devil, down she went. Been true ever since. And by the way, there's a very, very good lesson for you and me there. Don't you expect to maintain holiness and integrity and walk in a sanctified life while you deliberately expose yourself to the hiss of the serpent and listen to the lies of the devil. Don't think you're going to do it. Jesus said, when he taught us to pray, that we should pray, "Lead us not into temptation." He commanded his disciples to pray that you enter not into temptation. And yet there are Christians who deliberately, willfully expose themselves to the wickedness of hell, and they listen to the hiss of the serpent. They may call it entertainment, they may call it music, they may call it good literature, they may call it whatever they want to call it, but listen, you cannot expose yourself to the foulness of Satan and come away undefiled. It's impossible. Every man that's ever touched Satan at any point or conversed with him has been defiled by it. All except the God-man. What a view it gives you of the purity of Christ and of his victory. My, I thank God for how the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, endured this. He endured it in victory. He was the conqueror at every step of the journey. And then he was the victor at the end when he could say, "Get me hence." And Satan had to go. But I suppose where it all comes home for you and me is that in it all you see the mercy of the Lord Jesus. For as I've said, this was part of his fulfillment of all righteousness. In other words, what he did here was for us. His victory guaranteed our victory. For it guaranteed the final defeat of Satan, and it proclaimed, and Satan understood this, that Christ would bring his mystical body to be as sinless as his physical body. That would be the absolute defeat of Satan. I want you to think of that. Christ was tempted and preserved through it all a sinless body. But we are the body of Christ. And the mystical body, the church, is as much the body of Christ in that sense as his head and his hands and his feet were in a physical sense. We're as truly united to him as those hands and feet. And when he overcame Satan in his physical body, and hell well understood this, the battle was not only Well, that's foolish to put it that way, because that includes everything. It was for the physical, mental, moral integrity of Christ himself, but included in that, as Hale understood, was the deliverance of the mystical body from every taint of sin to be made pure for union with Christ. That's what was at stake. And that's the mercy of the Savior. The mercy is also seen in the hope that this brings to us. You see, we all have to battle temptation. As soon as Christ was baptized into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, as soon as you're saved, tempted of the devil. I'll not go into that aspect of it too much today, for if I start, again, I tell you, I've never got to the beginning of preaching what I intended to preach this morning. I better not start it now, otherwise we'll be here until Christmas. But as soon as you're saved, or as soon as you have an experience of God, or as soon as you step out to do the will of God, immediately you're going to face temptation. And temptation for you will be just as real as it was for Christ. Now you will find in the temptations of Christ enough here that will give you guidance for everything else. But let me sum it all up for our purposes this morning like this. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, apart from sin." That's a very important proviso in there. Apart from sin. And because we have such an high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, we can find grace to help as we pray in the time of need, according to Hebrews 4:16. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 18, Paul says that in that Christ himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now see what he's saying. He's saying, listen, because Christ was tempted and you are tempted, number one, you have a Savior who can sympathize with you. You have a Savior who not only sympathizes because of his omniscience, he has an intuitive knowledge of all things, but you have a Savior who can sympathize with you because he has sat where you sit. He has stood where you're standing. He's walked the way you're walking. He's met the enemy that you're meeting. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be isolated, to be lonely, to be weakened in body, to be assaulted in mind. He knows what it is. He can sympathize.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.